John chapter 6, verses 14 through 29. This is the reading of God's word. Therefore, when the people saw the sign which he had performed, they said, "This is truly the prophet who is to come into the world." So Jesus, perceiving that they were intending to come and take him by force to make him king, withdrew again to the mountain by himself alone. Now when evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, and after getting into a boat, they started to cross the sea to Capernaum. It had already become dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea began to be stirred up because a strong wind was blowing. Then when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near to the boat, and they were frightened. But he said to them, "It is I, do not be afraid." So they were willing to receive him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land to which they were going. The next day, the crowd that stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was no other small boat there except one, and that Jesus had not entered with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples had gone away alone. There came other small boats from Tiberia near to the place where they ate the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into those small boats and came to Capernaum seeking Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered them and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you, for on him the Father God has set his seal." Therefore they said to him, "What shall we do so that we may work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for heavenly manna that you are about to give to us. Let us feed upon the heavenly manna, feed upon Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray that your word will be preached, that Jesus will be preached, and your people will hear the gospel, and they will be happy to hear the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. As we hear your word, let us grow and become more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, let us love you not only with lips, but let us love you with our lives. Bless us and receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We continue our study of John chapter 6. This is the third time we are looking at this chapter. So far, we have concluded that the story of the feeding of the 5,000 is a preview of the Last Supper at the night before our Lord's death on the cross. Jesus is the living bread that came down from heaven. Verse 54, "He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Verse 56, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. Just as in the Last Supper, here in John chapter 6, Jesus gives himself to the people. And in John chapter 6, we see that the new Exodus has begun. The true Exodus. The Exodus from this world and sin. God in the Old Testament led his people in the wilderness as his sheep and gave them the manna, the bread from heaven. Now Jesus Christ our Lord comes as the good shepherd and leads his people and gives them the true manna himself. He leads and makes us lie down in green pastures. He leads us beside quiet waters. He prepares a table before us and our cups overflow. The Lord is my shepherd and I shall not be in want. But Philip could not see that heavenly reality. Philip only understood the event in light of this world. Jesus is not just satisfying people's physical needs. And you and I, we must see the reality of heaven from this event. Jesus is inviting his people, you, to his table today. And we must see the heavenly reality in the Lord's Supper. It is the supper of heaven. God himself is serving us. See it for yourself. Who is sitting and who is waiting on you? You are exalted to a position of glory. God is exalting you. God is serving you. And you and I are called to imitate him. We must serve God and we must serve one another. As we come to the Lord's Supper, we must ask ourselves, by what do I live? Do you live by the bread of this world? All of us who are coming to the table of the Lord confess that without eating and drinking Jesus Christ, we are as good as dead. Forever dead. And are you satisfied? Are you satisfied with Jesus Christ your Lord and him alone? All of us who partake of our Lord Jesus Christ participate in his life. We must deny ourselves and take up our crosses and serve him and follow him. A large crowd followed him. He had been healing the sick and performing many miracles, signs, and wonders. They followed Jesus as if their lives were dependent on him. And when we come to John 6, we see Jesus with his disciples. Jesus went up on the mountain with them and came down. It is now late afternoon and people were hungry. And with 5 barley loaves of bread and 2 fish that a child had, Jesus fed the crowd of 5,000 people, only counting men. The crowd ate and they were satisfied, though only physically. They have tasted the kingdom of God, and yet they really did not know what was happening. But they were happy because their stomach was filled. Now they were thinking to themselves. Verse 14, therefore, when the people saw the sign which he had performed, they said, This is truly the prophet who is to come into the world. They have been waiting for the prophet like Moses, who was promised in the Old Testament. They have been waiting for the Messiah. They were saying to themselves and to one another, maybe he is the Messiah that we've been waiting for. But remember, these sinners understood the promise of God only in terms of this world. They have been waiting for the earthly Messiah. Nevertheless, they were joyous. He has come, they said to themselves. Now he will free us from the bondage of the Roman soldiers. He will give us what we desire. He will give us this world. Let us make him our king. Our king has come for us, and with him we will rule the world. The world is ours at last. The world will not ignore us anymore. We will show our power at last. But verse 15, so Jesus, perceiving that they were intending to come and take him by force to make him king, withdrew again to the mountain by himself alone. He fled. Jesus flees from them. But let me ask you, what is happening here? Is it bad? Don't we want people to make Jesus their king? Isn't that what Jesus wants anyway? That people will take him as their king, so that they will serve him as their king. Is what happening here? Is it so bad that Jesus actually flees? Why does he do that? I thought it is our job to bring so much people to church so that they would take him, Jesus, as their king, that they would confess their loyalty to this king. And that is exactly what is happening here, and yet Jesus, he runs away. A temptation from Satan. Matthew chapter 4, verse 8 through 10, again, the devil took Jesus, to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And devil said to Jesus, all these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. Satan offers the kingdom of this world to Jesus. And what we see in John chapter 6 is the same temptation. Here, Satan uses men to tell Jesus, I'll give you the kingdom of this world. No suffering needed. Jesus flees. He runs away. What we see in John chapter 6 is the same temptation. Sinners want this world, and they want to make Jesus their king in light of their evil desire to have this world and what this world can offer to them. We are reminded of an event in the Old Testament. 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 4 to 9. Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah. And they said to him, Behold, you have grown old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now appoint a king for us to judge us like all the nations. But the king was displeased. The thing was displeasing in the sight of Samuel when they said, Give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed to the Lord. The Lord said to Samuel, Listen to the voice of the people in regard to all that they said to you. For they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from being king over them. Like all the deeds which they have done since the day that I brought them up from Egypt, even to this day, in that they have forsaken me and served other gods. So they are doing to you also. Now then, listen to their voice. However, you shall solemnly warn them and tell them of the procedure of the king who will reign over them. They wanted a king to judge them like all the other nations. They want to be just like any other nation in the universe. Here's God electing them and saving them so that they will be a holy people, a set apart people, a people different from all the other nations. And yet, their desire is, appoint a king for us, just like all the other nations. God's people, and yet, they don't want to be God's people. They don't want to follow God. They want to be like the world. God says, don't be sad, Samuel. They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting me. They wanted a worldly king who could give them this world to conquer the whole universe so that you may rule the world. And some Christians, that's actually what they want to do. They want to rule the whole world. So non-Christians will suffer. To want this kind of king is to reject God as their king. And this is what we see in John chapter 6. Even though they want Jesus as their king, in fact, they're rejecting God as their king. They want Jesus to be this worldly king for them. Verse 26, truly, truly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. You saw what I have done and you misunderstood what I have done. You are thinking to yourselves, whoa, look at what he has done. Man, if I follow him, then we don't have to worry about food. We don't have to worry about, you know, back then. We even read this same kind of story in the Old Testament with Joseph. I mean, when you have control of food, then you have the control. The whole world will come to you and beg you when you control the food. And you even see that in today's, you know, world. Who controls the world? Who controls the food? You seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. This is Jesus, what he says. To make Jesus their king this way is to reject God. They would serve Jesus to gain this world. It is the same thing as rejecting him. And we know their true heart because in the same book, John, if you go back, these same Israelites who were following Jesus at this time, the same people, they were crying out, away with him, away with him, crucify him, crucify him. We have no king but Caesar. Same people who follow Jesus right here. What kind of king do you believe Jesus is to you? It's not just enough to say, I believe in Jesus. Because you have to understand, what kind of Jesus do you believe? Jesus that the Bible teaches, or Jesus that you conjure up in your sinful hearts? What do you believe that he promised you when you have accepted him as your king? What is your understanding? Look at what is happening here. So many people, it says a large crowd followed him. Don't you think that it is a great opportunity for Jesus to make it big? I mean, so far, you know, small number of disciples and a small number of people. But here, a large crowd. And it's not just a large crowd, but a large crowd that says it loves him. A willing crowd. We want you to be our king. Willing crowd. Don't you think that it is a great opportunity to bring a huge success to his ministry? But Jesus runs away. And not only he runs away, later on he teaches the truth. And you will see at the end of this chapter, everybody leaving him. They now flee Jesus Christ. Once they found out what kind of Jesus this is, the true Jesus, the biblical Jesus, they run from him. These people think Jesus could give them what they want. They seek Jesus to gain what they want, what their sinful minds lust after. Simply put, they want this world and what this world can offer to them. That's the only thing they're interested in. Just like so many churchgoers today, it's all about this world. For this world,
they follow Jesus. And he flees from them.
Verses 22 through 27. The next day, the crowd that stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was no other small boat there except one, and that Jesus had not entered with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples had gone away alone. There came other small boats from Tiberias near to the place where they ate the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the small boat and came to Capernaum seeking Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" And Jesus answered them and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you, for on him the Father, God, has set his seal." You could picture this. All these people seeking, I mean actively seeking Jesus. Can you see that? They brought all these boats and they were in it and they were actively seeking Jesus. But are they really seeking Jesus? Are you really seeking Jesus? At the worldly sea, Tiberias, in the worldly boats, they seek the worldly Messiah. It's kind of comical, isn't it? Worldly sea, Tiberias, we saw how that represents the world. In the worldly boat, worldly people seeking worldly Jesus. They want to gain this world and conquer this world. But at the end, they will be conquered by the world. What they want is the exact same thing that the world wants. Christians or not, I mean anybody, you go talk to them. What do they want? They want the world. They want success here. They, these people who are seeking Jesus in our story, they and the world are actually one. One. O-N-E. In fact, they are not really seeking Jesus. They are actually seeking the world. And Jesus flees from them. But in the midst of all this, we see a picture of you, the true Christians. Verses 16 through 21. "Now when evening came, his disciples went down to the sea. And after getting into a boat, they started to cross the sea to Capernaum. It had already become dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea began to be stirred up because a strong wind was blowing. Then, when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near to the boat, and they were frightened. But Jesus said to them, 'It is I.
Do not be afraid.
So they were willing to receive him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land to which they were going. Very interesting. All these people seeking Jesus, and these disciples, even though as sinful as all the other people, but chosen of God, they were in this little boat and they were scared. And this is how we are. You look at Christianity today, it seems like it has life. Big mega churches, so large crowds seeking Jesus. And somehow you realize you don't belong in this picture. You just cannot bring yourself be comfortable in this picture. It's just not you. And you are with your brothers and sisters, not many, just in this small boat. And all around there's big waves, and you're scared. And sometimes you're confused. What is really going on? Yeah, I want to do God's will, but sometimes I'm confused. I don't know. And these sinful desires that I have, it just overwhelms me so many times, and I do things that I don't want to do. And you compare to these other people who are seeking worldly Jesus, who are seeking the world, and you be honest to yourself, and you're saying to yourself, well, ultimately, I'm doing the same thing. I seek the world. But you know that it's wrong. You don't want to, but your desire is so great sometimes, it's hard to do what God wants you to do, that clearly you know what he wants you to do. And just sometimes it's just flat out scared. There's two big waves all around us. Two different people. One actively seeking Jesus in a worldly way. And here's small number of Jesus' disciples scared. The difference is, to these scared disciples, Jesus comes to them. He doesn't flee away from them. He actually comes to them. That's the only difference in our story. Because of true faith that Jesus has given. And you cannot deny this true faith. If you have it, you have it. If you don't, and you don't. And once God touched you with this true faith, you cannot deny this. And ultimately, even though you sin, even though you're not living that life that you want to live, even though everything you do seems like failure, you know it. That somehow it will be okay because of Christ. That as long as he is with me, it's okay. To these people, God comes. And it's a beautiful, beautiful picture. And he says to them, It is I. Do not be afraid. And here, these people willingly receive him into the boat. Even though they are as sinful as other people we see in our story, Jesus comes to them. And they receive Jesus. And the ultimate picture we see is that Jesus is with them. Long as he is with us, we have hope. And there's no reason for discouragement or despair. It's not because waves will get smaller or whatever, but that Jesus is with us. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, our Lord gives you the other world. But this world hates the other world. Jesus gives you the eternal life, the life of the other world. His blessing is not about a comfortable or successful life in this world. He gives you heaven. He gives you himself. As our life in this world is big waves and strong winds, but Jesus comes to us and he tells us, do not be afraid. It is I. I am with you. And you and I, we receive him and we have peace of heaven. Do not work for the food which perishes, brothers and sisters. Do not work for the food which perishes. Our work is to believe in Jesus Christ, trusting him, not worrying about what to eat, what to wear, what to drink. It's to believe in Christ. Thus we read verse 28 and 29, therefore they said to him, what shall we do so that we may work the work of God? Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him who he has sent. Yes, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, it's rough life as a Christian in this world. Big waves and strong winds, yes. And even with Christianity that you see in this popular way, how our religion is expressed, you cannot even be with them. So it's just worse situation that you could think of. And that in worse situation, you will find yourself more often than not. But we have work to do. And our work is that we believe in Jesus Christ. Hear his voice. It didn't come out right. Hear his voice through the word. You know, don't really hear his voice. Then you have to go to hospital. But hear his voice. Do not be afraid. It is I. And once you hear that voice, it's okay. It's doable.
are able to endure.
Not just endure, but endure for joy.
But brothers and sisters, what are you seeking? What do you want? What is it that you want? Is it this world or is it heaven? What kind of food do you desire? The food which perishes or heavenly food which will never perish? For what did you come here? What do you expect that Jesus will give you? If you want this world, then we have nothing to give you. But Jesus gives himself. Jesus has invited you to his table.
This is why the world will laugh at this. Come on. I forsake the whole world and this is it. This is what we get. And we are to be happy with this. And after you participate in this table, you are to go out with true happiness and satisfaction. How the world will understand that?
He has invited you to a heavenly banquet. He gives you the eternal life. He gives you heaven. He gives you himself. This is what the passage starting verse 30 is teaching, which we will look at next time.
Jesus is offering himself. And you know, our gracious Jesus, even though these earthly people seeking earthly Jesus and they come to Jesus, initially he flees, but later on he have mercy upon them and start to teach them. And all this teaching ultimately is what? I give myself to you. That's it, what all that teaching is about in John 6.
But because they came for the world, whatever Jesus was saying to them, they were not happy. So you read in verse 66, as a result of this, as a result of this teaching, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. Isn't that interesting? After Jesus explaining everything, he teaches everything, they all flee. They all flee from him now. They run away from Jesus. Because it is not Jesus they're seeking. It is not Jesus they want. And brothers and sisters, this is so important. That if you come to this church for any other reason, we have nothing to give you. Not even good friendship. Man, there's not even good people here so that you could be, oh, my best friend. Not even that. We cannot offer you anything here. But if you are seeking Jesus, you came to the right place. What are we seeking? I want all of us to ask ourselves.
It is so amazing because even though they came to Jesus, they go back empty-handed. Because what they were seeking was not Jesus, even as they come to Jesus, they go back empty-handed. And it just tears me apart after you guys go out that door. That if you did not find Jesus, because you are not seeking Jesus, and you have to go home empty-handed. That's the only thing that will make me or anybody here sad. Because today is not about being sad. It's about rejoicing. But that will make us sad. Because you're not seeking Jesus, you will go home empty-handed. These people, they don't get it. Because their eyes are so focused on this world, nothing will change that. But I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, you are not like that. You have received Him and His kingdom. You have received the glory. And you are with Him and He is with you. You also live the life of Jesus Christ, the life of big waves and strong winds. That's the kind of life He lived for you. His life was all about big waves and strong winds. And about being lonely. I should have brought Kleenex boxes. It's not visually helping. But listen to him as you come to this table today. Hear him say to you, "It is I. Don't be afraid. In the world, you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. You are so gracious, so good to us, even though just like disciples, many times we're confused, we're terrified, scared, and sinful, like those people who belong to the world. But Father, you have saved us and made us your people. And rather than fleeing from us, you come to us, enabling us to see you and hear you through your word. Oh, Father, we thank you. We hear your voice. It is I. Don't be afraid. And that is enough for us. Let us live for your glory, truly being able to forsake this world and seeking the true Jesus, the true manna, true heaven, the kingdom of God. Bless us and receive all the glory, God. In Jesus, His name, we pray. Amen.